You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the podcast where we talk about all of Major League Baseball, yes, even during a lockdown. And I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. On this episode, which is being dropped on the 27th day of March, 2020, I talk to you about games that you don't know and don't know the results of, and I'm going to break them down. Why don't you know them? Well, because I created them on a simulator. This show is available on the free and easy-to-use Himalaya podcasting app and on all the platforms where you get podcasts. You can go to our website, which is lockedonmlb.com. And while you're at home staying safe, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball, Locked On Tigers, Locked On Cardinals. Why did they pick those two teams? You'll find out soon enough. And you can follow us at Locked On MLB underscore net on Twitter, Locked On MLB on Instagram. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. So this should be the second day of the baseball season, but of course it's not, and I'm not going to complain about that because it's the right thing to do to be not playing ball at this time, but that doesn't mean I don't really miss ball. So let me tell you what I'm going to do. I teased this out a couple of days ago. A site that I absolutely adore, I'm giving them a plug, even though they are not a sponsor of the show. I don't know if I'm allowed to do that, but I'm about to. It's called whatifsports.com. And what they do is you can go put in two teams, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, whatever it is, and you can simulate two teams playing each other, and you can adjust the lineups, you can adjust who the pitchers are, and it will give you the results of what happens when these two teams play, but also will give you the play-by-play, the box score, and what happened. And I've loved doing this, especially when I like to see what would have happened in certain matchups. And there's some that I've really enjoyed that you'll see what would have happened if this team had won the pennant instead of that, if the 86 Angels moved on instead of the Red Sox, if the 2003 Cubs had moved on instead of the Marlins, that sort of thing. What would have happened if those teams, and you would see the in those matchups what would have happened. And I've had a lot of fun doing that over the years. And what I've decided to do as we're waiting for games to start up again is to run a couple of those, especially in some of those scenarios that I'm truly curious about. Those franchise-defining matchups that never happened and that could have happened. It could have changed the trajectory of entire teams and perceptions of players. And who knows, maybe even the fate of the universe. So the first one I'm doing is one that I've actually had been requested to do in the past, and I ran it several times. So I didn't want to just run it once. I want to see what the most common result was. And I got a common result, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm going to break it down, and hopefully there'll be a little suspense. The year, I'm not going to go back to the 40s or 50s. I'm not going to say what would have happened if Bobby Thompson had popped up. No, I'm going to go this past decade because there was a potential World Series matchup that probably should have happened, that didn't happen, that would have been the potential franchise changer for one team. The Detroit Tigers in 2013 looked like they were the team that was finally going to put it all together. The Tigers, who had been swept in the World Series by the Giants just the year before, had an unbelievable pitching staff led by Max Scherzer, Justin Verlander. They had Doug Fister, Anibal Sanchez, and Rick Porcello as well. They had a galaxy of stars in their starting lineup, led by Miguel Cabrera, who had another spectacular season. Big power from Prince Fielder and a lot of solid play from Torrey Hunter and Victor Martinez. They were a team that won 93 games, won the American League Central, and absolutely dominated the Boston Red Sox in the American League Championship Series, except for a pair of grand slams, one by David Ortiz, which we all remember with the cop jumping up and down, and one by Shane Victorino that turned around game six in the Red Sox favor. The Red Sox won that ALCS in six games and they went on to win the World Series, and Red Sox fans rejoice on that one, as that was the World Series in the wake of the marathon bombing and everything. But the Tigers were the better team. The one thing they didn't have was a decent bullpen. If they had even a mediocre bullpen, they would have had a 2-0 lead going into game three of the ALCS with Justin Verlander on the mound. If they had a decent bullpen, they would have preserved two Max Scherzer victories, and there would have been a World Series between the Tigers and the Cardinals. And the Tigers won the division the next year, but fell off a cliff, and eventually that team had to be broken up. But what I'm saying is, what if? What if the Tigers held on and beat the Red Sox and faced that Cardinal team? The Cardinal team, which got back to the World Series without Albert Pujols, without Tony La Russa, without Dave Duncan. They won 97 games with the best team in baseball, and they were led by people like Carlos Beltran, by Matt Holliday, and a tremendous season from Adam Wainwright and some depth in their pitching staff. They didn't have the one superstar like Pujols. It was more of a team effort. And after coming close to getting into the World Series the year before, losing to the Giants, what would happen if that team face the Tigers in the 2013 World Series? Well, guess what? You don't have to wonder. I ran What If Sports. I ran it a bunch of times, and this is the most common result. So game one of the alternate 2013 World Series opens at Comerica Park. Now, I kept into account that if the Tigers had a game seven, that probably would have cost them Justin Verlander. And so they would be forced to start Anibal Sanchez in game one of the World Series against Adam Wainwright of the Cardinals. Another thing to keep in mind is at one point in the ALCS, Jim Leland, the manager of the Tigers, decided to move up everyone in the lineup one spot and drop Austin Jackson near the bottom. So he had Torrey Hunter leading off and Miguel Cabrera batting second. That's what everyone wanted to do. That's what he did in the final games of the ALCS, and I'm carrying that over into the World Series. Also, in this simulated World Series, Alan Craig is the DH, and Matt Adams is playing first because, well, that's what happened. All right. In game one, fans in Detroit are at a fever pitch for a World Series, which is a rematch of 2006. Hell, it's a rematch of 1968. Hell, it's a rematch of 1934. Cardinals, Tigers, Sanchez on the mound. Is he up for the game? Sure doesn't look it. Matt Carpenter leads off with a single. Beltran with a single. Matt Holliday gets a single. The first three batters get hits. Matt Adams gets a single. The first four batters get hits. Molina grounds into a double play that Alan Craig gets a single. He let up five hits and three runs before the Tigers even came to bat. Adam Wainwright was on the mound. He induced a double play after getting to an early jam. And then Sanchez continued to get smacked around. Jay singled. Descalso singled. Sanchez threw a wild pitch. Carpenter hit a sacrifice fly. Beltran walked. Holiday singles. It's a nightmare for Tigers fans because the one thing they can all say is, hey, our starting pitching is great. It's our bullpen that's terrible. Well, as it turns out, they weren't getting the starting pitching out of Sanchez, and burning Scherzer and Verlander got him into the World Series, but Sanchez was getting him into a big hole. Wainwright was spectacular through the first seven innings, finally letting up a couple of RBI singles, including one to Jose Iglesias. By the sixth inning, the Tigers had waved the white flag and started bringing in Drew Smyly and members of their middle relief, including starter Rick Porcello. And by the end of the game, Matt Holliday got a triple, Matt Adams singled, and despite a late rally by the Tigers, where Hunter got a single and then an RBI double from Miguel Cabrera put Prince Fielder at the plate, at that point, the game was pretty much a formality, and the Cardinals took game one, 8-4 in Detroit. The big star of the game was both Adam Wainwright, who pitched seven solid innings, allowing two runs. He let up a bunch of hits, but he wiggled his way out of trouble. And Matt Carpenter and Matt Holliday each had three hits. So the Tigers, right out of the gate, their starting pitching couldn't do the job. And now home field advantage belonged to the Cardinals. Max Scherzer, now rested, was ready to go for game two. And the nightmare continued, Tiger fans. Even in this alternate reality, things aren't looking good. Matt Carpenter led off the game with a double, eventually scored on a Matt Adams single, and Yadier Molina doubled home Adams, and the Tigers were down 2-0 before they even had a chance to bat. On the mound was rookie sensation Michael Wacha, who, you know, wiggled out of a little trouble in the first, let up two runners in the second, but the Tigers couldn't score. And in the third, Torrey Hunter led off the inning with a double, got picked off at second base, and everything was falling apart. Remember how the layoff in both 2006 and 2012 seemed to affect the Tigers and they looked sloppy in the World Series? Well, now they're coming off a seven-game ALCS, and the same thing was happening. Omar Infante hit a fly ball that put the Tigers to within 2-1. And Max Scherzer started to settle down after the rocky first inning. He pitched into the seventh, and by the time the seventh inning came around, the Tigers were still only down 2-1. Scherzer pitched into the eighth inning because, remember, you don't trust this Tiger bullpen. And as it turned out, they pushed Scherzer one inning too long. Another big double by Descalso, and then Matt Holliday homered to make it 4-1. So the Cardinals were moving into the bottom of the ninth, handing the ball to Trevor Rosenthal. But then it happened. Jose Iglesias of the Tigers singled to lead off the ninth inning with the Tigers down 4-1. Then Torrey Hunter doubled. A single by Miguel Cabrera made it 4-2. And then Prince Fielder came up and doubled into right center field, scoring Torrey Hunter. All of a sudden, it was 4-3. Now, they didn't bring in a pinch runner for Prince Fielder, but in comes Victor Martinez. And with nobody out in the ninth inning and the Tigers going crazy and Comerica going crazy, Victor Martinez singled into right field, scoring Miguel Cabrera. Prince Fielder lumbered home. Carlos Beltran's throw was late. Fielder slid. All of Comerica trembled, and the Tigers pulled off a 5-4 victory to tie the series with a wild four-game rally. The tide had turned. It was the Cardinals' bullpen that fell apart, with Trevor Rosenthal not recording an out in the ninth inning, allowing five hits and four runs, and suddenly we had ourselves a World Series. So now, the Tigers went to St. Louis. They had arrested and ready Justin Verlander to face Lance Lynn. But guess what? Lynn was on his game. He pitched a 1-2-3 first, a 1-2-3 second. He allowed an error to Descalso in the third, but got Iglesias, Verlander, and Hunter out. In the fourth inning, Lance Lynn led off walks in the to Cabrera and Fielder. But Johnny Peralta, who, remember, Leland was playing in left field at the time, hit a deep fly ball that fell just short of the warning track. Infante and Avila both struck out. In the bottom of the fourth, David Freese, remember him? It's a World Series. It's time for David Freese. Singled home Matt Adams, and Descalso got yet another hit in another multi-hit game for the shortstop. He stole second base, and next thing you know, the Cardinals were up 2-0, and Lynn was still dealing. Oh, Verlander was pitching effectively and getting tons of strikeouts. But the problem was Lynn wasn't letting up anything. In the fifth inning, Carlos Beltran hit a deep fly ball to left field to give the Cardinals a 3-0 lead. but the story was Lynn. He struck out Cabrera, Fielder, and Peralta in the sixth inning. In the seventh inning, he struck out Infante and Avila before getting Austin Jackson to ground out. In the eighth inning, Iglesias took strike three. Victor Martinez came off the bench to hit for Verlander. He grounded out. Torrey Hunter grounded out. So now, Lance Lynn was taking a no-hitter into the ninth inning. The drama didn't last long, though. Cabrera led off the ninth with a single. Then, after striking out Fielder and Peralta, Omar Infante dropped a double to left center field to score Cabrera. Now, the no-hitter was gone, the shutout was gone, and the tying run was at the plate, and Alex Avila was coming up. Now, Rosenthal had gotten clobbered in game two, and the second guessers were drooling when he came out to pitch the ninth and get the final out. But Alex Avila struck out swinging, and the Tigers were down 2-1 in the World Series after losing game three, 3-1. So I want to just ask you a question. Do you hate stepping on a scale? Because maybe you haven't met the right one. A company called Withings produced the first smart scale in all the world, and they're still the best. In fact, Tom's Guide rated Withings Body Plus the best overall smart scale in 2020. If you're looking to lose weight, willpower is key, but so is having the right tools. Withings smart scales are known for durability and an exceptionally user-friendly design. Step on, and data from every weigh-in syncs automatically to the free app for iOS and Android via Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. Lots of smart scales don't have the Wi-Fi option. It means you need to have your phone on. But Withings Body Plus gives weight, full body composition, weight trend, even a local weather report. The scale can support up to 8 users and even knows who's who. So here's the deal. You get 25% off of Withings Plus right now at withings.com. For a very little time, go to withings.com, withings.com/MLB to get 25% off Body Plus Body Composition Scale. That's withings.com/MLB to get 25% off Body Plus Body Composition Scale. Hey, what are you doing for the game? That's a universal question. Whether the casual follower that tweets everything, the beginner, the diehard, the stat nerd, the smat talker, the appetizer guy, the couldn't care less, or that makes everything into a competition person, we all have our place in the sports world. The same personalities apply to fantasy sports, and League Commish exists to ensure your fantasy sports experience is the best one for you. We match managers to leagues as we lay the foundation for your new league. It's as easy as sign up with your preferences, get matched and approved of that match before any commitment on your end. Sign up with League Commish by February 29th and receive 15% off by entering the code LOCKEDON in the referred by section and sign up form. The first 25 people to sign up using our code receive their first match for free. What are you doing for the game? Find your next fantasy sports league at leaguecommish.com. All right, now the Tigers are in trouble. After nearly getting no hit by Lance Lynn, they go to game four, and they decide to throw Doug Fister and not push Anibal Sanchez into the role. Joel Kelly gets the start for the Cardinals. Johnny Peralta immediately homers in the first inning off of Joel Kelly, and the Tigers are off to the races, having a 2-0 lead as Fister looks solid in the first, but Matt Adams greeted him with a leadoff homer in the second and made it 2-1. Yadier Molina doubled home Carlos Beltran in the third to tie the game, and Descalso again drove in a run in the fourth inning to give the Cardinals the 3-2 lead. Joe Kelly settled down until the sixth inning when Iglesias singled. A walk to Cabrera put two runners on. Prince Fielder singled home Iglesias. Peralta singled home Cabrera. And the Tigers were up 4-3 going into the sixth. Edward Mujica had a 1-2-3 inning for the Cardinals in the seventh inning. Maness pitched a solid inning in the eighth. In the bottom of the eighth, the Tigers decided that they would trust their starting pitcher for one more inning. Gun-shy to go to the bullpen that has been their Achilles heel. Doug Fister got Molina to strike out, but then allowed three straight hits to Adams, Fries, and Jay, loading the bases with a one-run lead. Drew Smyly came in and immediately let up a base hit to Descalso that scored Adams and scored Fries. Pinch hitter Alan Craig came up. He singled home John Jay. Matt Carpenter came in. He drove home Descalso. And next thing you know, the Tigers' 4-3 eighth inning lead turned into a 7-4 hole. Rosenthal came out again, and despite letting up a double to Avila, got the other three batters he faced, and the Cardinals won 7-4. David Fries collected four hits in the game. Matt Carpenter doubled, and the Cardinals were up 3-1. And now had the clinching within their sights. So with that in mind, and the season on the line, Jim Leland of the Tigers decided to roll the dice. He was going to pitch Max Scherzer on short rest instead of Anibal Sanchez. If he was going to go down, he was going to go down with his Cy Young winner. Adam Wainwright, rested and ready, was all ready to clinch the World Series against the Tigers, just like he had done in 2006. So here we go. Wainwright immediately gets into trouble. Torrey Hunter singled. Miguel Cabrera doubled. Johnny Peralta singled. Omar Infante singled. Avila walked, and the Tigers scored three runs in the first. Game five of the World Series was off to a terrible start, and the Cardinals fans were silenced. Now, a leadoff hit by Matt Carpenter started what looked like was going to be a big rally for the Cardinals in the first, but it would not come to be. But Carpenter got another hit in the second inning and cut the lead to 3-1. Then John Jay in the third inning doubled home a run, and it was 3-2. In the fifth inning, Miguel Cabrera homered to make it 4-2 Tigers. Tigers desperate to hold on and push the series back to Detroit. Scherzer batted in the seventh inning. No going to the bullpen anymore. This was Scherzer's game to lose. And Johnny Peralta singled home a run to give the Tigers a 5-2 lead. With a little bit of wiggle room, they went into the seventh. Scherzer allowed a leadoff hit to Beltran and to Holiday, but then got the next two outs. But then, David Fries. It's a World Series, so you know David Fries is going to have a big series. He singled home Carlos Beltran. John Jay singled home Matt Holiday. In comes reliever Drew Smyly. First pitch he throws in the dirt. Wild pitch. David Fries scores. The game is tied. Now the Tigers don't have their ace on the mound anymore and now are facing elimination on the road with their bullpen. Rosenthal came out to pitch the eighth, and he got out of a little bit of trouble, allowing two runners on. In the bottom of the eighth, Carpenter got yet another hit, but could not make it through the inning. So we go in the ninth inning. Mujica came out of the bullpen, and Cabrera singled, but could not score. Joaquin Benoit pitched the ninth. Every time he pitched, the Cardinals could clinch the World Series. Matt Adams grounded out. David Fries had a chance to be a hero in yet another World Series, but he struck out, and John Jay grounded out. So game five of the World Series goes to extra innings. Avila and Iglesias and Austin Jackson make outs, and we go to the bottom of the 10th. Rick Porcello comes out of the bullpen to pitch the 10th inning and allows a hit to Shane Robinson, who came in as a pinch hitter and stole second base. Red hot Matt Carpenter came up. He flew out to right, and Carlos Beltran, with a chance to clinch the World Series for the Cardinals, grounded out. Game five of the World Series was going to the 11th. Segrist pitched a 1-2-3 inning. Porcello pitched a 1-2-3 inning. We went to the 12th. In the 12th, Choate came in for the Cardinals and got absolutely lit up. Johnny Peralta singled. Omar Infante singled. Then Alex Avila got a base hit to score Peralta. Jackson came in. He singled home Infante. Andy Dierks came in as a pinch hitter. He doubled home Avila and Austin Jackson. After a Hunter strikeout, Miguel Cabrera came in and he walked. Carlos Martinez came out of the bullpen and then led up hits to Prince Fielder and Johnny Peralta. The Tigers had batted around. Lions finally got the Cardinals out of the game, out of the inning, sorry, but it was 11-5. And finally, the Tigers had a lead that was big enough to hand over to their bullpen, a 6-run lead going into the 12th. But was it big enough to hand to the bullpen? Al Albuquerque came out in what looked like was going to be an easy 6-run inning and immediately walked Freeze and let up a home run to John Jay. After getting an out, Pete Cosma drew a walk and Phil Koch had to come out of the bullpen. Matt Carpenter got yet another big hit and Beltran drove in a run and Matt Holliday doubled and Yadier Molina walked. And next thing you know, the tying runs were on base and Matt Adams came to the plate. The Tiger fan nightmare was continuing. Were the Tigers going to see yet another game blown by the bullpen? Could the bullpen not hold on to a 6-run lead? Rondon came out to face Matt Adams, who popped up to Prince Fielder. The series was going back to Detroit. It was still the Cardinals' favor, but it was 3-2. So now Leland had to make another decision. Was he going to throw Verlander on short rest or trust the ball to Anibal Sanchez? It was a no-brainer to bring in Michael Wacha, unless you want to pitch Lance Lynn, but the close no-hitter pitcher of game three would be rested and ready for a 7th game. But first, the Tigers had to win game 6. Sanchez put the Tigers in a hole early, letting up a single to Yadier Molina to give the Cardinals a 1-0 lead. In the 4th, David Freese, yep, it's a World Series game. He tripled, and Shane Robinson grounded out, and the Cardinals were up 3-0. And with Michael Wacha absolutely dealing, he struck out 12 batters in 7 innings, letting up just 2 unearned runs, and the Cardinals looked like they were going to cruise. But the Tigers did cut the run down to 3-2 going into the 8th. Mujica pitches the 8th inning and promptly loads the bases with a single to Fielder, Peralta hit by pitch, and Iglesias walked. But Infante popped up to end the rally. So now Trevor Rosenthal was on the mound in the 9th inning with a chance to clinch the World Series for the Cardinals, up 3-2. With one out, Avila hit a ground rule double. The tying run was in scoring position. But Torrey Hunter struck out to make it bring the Cardinals to within one out of winning the World Series. And then they decided to walk Miguel Cabrera. They put the winning run on base because they didn't want to give it to Cabrera. They didn't want to give him a chance to win the game with a long ball. They took their chances with Prince Fielder. With 2 outs, and the Tigers down to their final strike, Trevor Rosenthal pitched and Fielder hit a single to center field. Avila scored. Cabrera made it to 3rd. The game was tied. Martinez walked to load the bases. Manis came in to pitch and Peralta flew out. Benoit pitched a 1-2-3-10th and the Tigers could send the series to a game 7 with a run in the 10th. But despite a Jackson single, the Tigers couldn't score. Joaquin Benoit worked around a leadoff single in the 1st, in the 11th inning to send to the bottom of the 11th, but a Miguel Cabrera double play sent the game into the 12th. Then Alan Craig singled, and David Freese, remember him? He doubled home Alan Craig to put the Cardinals ahead. Yep. David Freese, hero of yet another World Series. They brought in Porcello again, but Shane Robinson tripled, scoring Freese. Matt Carpenter doubled, scoring Robinson, and the Cardinals were up 6-3 going into the bottom of the 12th inning. So with Randy Choate on the mound, Victor Martinez flew out, Johnny Peralta struck out, and with the Tiger fans cheering on their team, Iglesias swung and missed, and the St. Louis Cardinals won the alternate 2013 World Series. Once again, it was the Tigers' bullpen collapsing in the late innings. One more run being pushed across in any one of those games, and the Tigers would have won. Instead, you got a Cardinals team winning. A Cardinals team that didn't need Pujols. A Cardinals team that didn't need La Russa. A Cardinals team full of people that would be considered complementary players to a superstar. But the team gelled and put another World Series title on the mantle for the city of St. Louis. Carlos Beltran got his first World Series title, and Mike Matheny showed that he could take over and do the job that Tony La Russa had for all those years. Now, who would be the World Series MVP? It could have been Lance Lynn, who nearly threw a no-hitter. It could have been Michael Wacha, who let up only one earned run in 13 innings of pitching. But it actually was Matt Carpenter. Matt Carpenter, who had an OPS of 1.120 in this alternate World Series and had a slash line of 413, 433, and 689, had game after game where he had multiple doubles, multiple RBI, and got a key RBI in that World Series winning rally. So do you know what? Even in a simulated world, that Tigers team fell just short. What could have been the crowning achievement of Jim Leland's career of turning the Tigers, the team that was a 100-some-odd loss team when he showed up, took him to the World Series three times, winning it in 2013, and putting that alongside his 1997 title with the Marlins and the divisions he won in Pittsburgh, would have sealed his Hall of Fame candidacy shut. You would have had titles for the likes of Scherzer and Verlander in a Tiger uniform, a title for Miguel Cabrera in a Tiger uniform, and the likes of Prince Fielder and Johnny Peralta getting fitted for their rings. Alas, it didn't even happen in an alternate universe. So I had fun doing this. I hope you had fun, and I know some of you are big Tiger fans who listen to this. Probably were not happy with this result, but do you know what? I can't lie with the simulation. I ran it a bunch of times, and the most common result was Cardinals in six. So this was the version that I played for you all. So go to LockedOnMLB_net on Twitter, LockedOnMLB on Instagram, and follow all the great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network. Tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Fantasy Baseball and check out their great show. And I hope you're enjoying some of the entertainment that we're putting together for you while this, well, this event that's going on around the world is happening. This has been the Locked On MLB program for the 27th day of March, 2020. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sullivan.